The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 307, George Lindsay Jr. interview. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some Christmas presents, or if it's a different time of the year for you, a present for the Mayberry fan in your life. You'll find all kinds of wonderful Mayberry items if you go over to weaversdepartmentstore.com. Go over there and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. I want to thank you all for your support. And I want to thank the Mayberry Band. Nobody can play Stars and Stripes Forever like the Mayberry Band. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. Now, last week, the last episode, number 306, I replayed the full interview with George Lindsay that was originally aired as episodes 1 through 4 of Two Chairs No Waiting. And I rolled it all together into one complete episode, so you got to hear it all. And I hope you enjoyed that. And if you hadn't heard it, head over and listen to it. Now, this week, we have got another treat. This is going to be George Lindsay Jr., George's son, obviously, George Lindsay Goober. His son, George Lindsay Jr., joined a whole bunch of us on the 2014 version of the Mayberry Cruise. That was the 9th Mayberry Cruise. And if you haven't been on one, I definitely want to invite you to go. They're a lot of fun. You get to sit around and visit. This coming year, 2015, will be the 10th Mayberry Cruise, the annual cruise. So make plans to be there. Start saving money now. We need you to go. It's awesome. You'll really enjoy yourself. So during the cruise, we had special guests. It was George Lindsay Jr. and Leroy McNeese. Now, this particular session was held early morning, the first day of the cruise. It was about 10 o'clock, I believe, maybe, is when we started. And I had the pleasure of being able to interview George Lindsay Jr. Now, we had watched an episode of the Andy Griffith Show that starred his dad, George. It was the one where Goober takes the car apart. And we had watched it and just enjoyed it as a group, sitting there watching it. And then we were able to call George up onto the stage. So it was really fun. So we sat there as a crowd.
I said, get it out.
This is the end of the episode you're hearing. We got to sit there as a whole crowd watching the episode of the Andy Griffith Show. That there was George right there. And then we brought George Lindsay up. So let's head on over to the Mayberry Cruise and join the interview. So here we go.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That's a great episode. There are a ton of great lines in that episode that I don't know about y'all, but I use a lot. You know, I like to say it again. I love that one. George, come on up here on stage with us. And y'all welcome George Lindsay Jr. There you go.
Hey, y'all. Hey. Alan's right. There's so many great lines in that episode. That's truly one of my favorites. It's just so fun watching Dad. I was telling Aubrey the other day, this morning, being with this family here at Mayberry Days and the Mayberry family, you know. And heck, at home, I don't have a whole lot of really good friends. And I come out here and I've got so many good friends, you know. Everybody here you just trust with anything. And to sit and watch a Griffith show with everybody is just really, really fun to me, you know. At home, I'll sit and I'll watch a Griffith show. And then, you know, you sit there by yourself. And usually, I won't critique my dad's acting, but I love to watch the acting. I get here and I just laugh and have fun with everybody else. I'm I'm not his kid. I'm just, that's so funny.
I've got some things I wanted to talk to you about, because over the years, several folks, we used to get together with your dad at Christmas time. His birthday was around Christmas. And Jim Clark, the dieting goober of the Indy Rerun Watch Club, we would have a party for George, and then he would sit around and talk to us about it. And that was always a thrill for us. One of his favorite lines was when he was on that episode right there, and he would talk about, and he'd go, out. You know, that line, the way he delivered, out. You know, that was always, he would sit around and talk to us about some of that kind of stuff. Did he ever talk to you any about the Andy Griffith Show or anything like that, about things that he'd done when he was working on them?
Not really. People always say it's the old, what was it like? And it was normal. I had a normal childhood. He would get up and go to work and come back. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion about the show. I think because I was too young and I didn't understand acting or showbiz or any of that. I do remember sometimes, as I was an older man, I thought, why did my dad sometimes come home in makeup? And I went, well, it's not really ladies' makeup, but it's makeup. And I never understood, and then he just did. But as I grew older, I went, oh, as an actor, kind of cool just to come home in your makeup.
That's great. So now you did tell me, you said that you weren't really for the Andy Griffith Show. You never really, you don't remember it very well as a child. But you did spend a little bit of time on the RFD set, you said. Who all did you meet then? Were there, did you get to actually talk with some of the actors and things like that when you were doing it?
I think it was Ken Berry and Mike was the kid on there. And I kind of remember talking with Mike. He was about my age, I think. But yeah, I remember being on that set. I do remember I was doing Summer Stock in Birmingham, Alabama. We were doing The Music Man. Jim Nabors was The Music Man. I was in the cast, but just small role, and he realized that I was in the cast, and he came up and he said, George Lindsay, I used to hold you when you were a little baby. I said, oh, well, okay. I think I went to the set that's a couple of times. I was too young.
Okay, so as you've gotten more mature, we'll say that, as you've grown up and everything, and now, you know, you see, you've been to several Mayberry events now. You've been to Mayberry Days a few times. Now you're here on the cruise. What's it like as a child of a person to see fans that cared or care so much about your dad? What does that make you feel? How do you feel?
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, I live in Los Angeles, and the Mayberry is not on anybody's top of the list to watch, you know. None of my friends are like, I come out here, and it's just wonderful to just have a family, an extended family that I don't have, you know, and Dad's gone now, and not really, you know. He's kept alive, his memory's kept alive, and it's just so wonderful to have fans of Dad's and of mine a little bit. To watch a show and to be around everybody at Mayberry Days and like I said, watching this with people you love and everybody's laughing and you're going, that's my pa. Still nailing it.
Right. Now, when you, George is going to be doing the show with us later in the week and performing, so you've got the goober grin down really well, and when you wear your hat, he's going to demonstrate that for you right here. It really is amazing when he does the goober grin.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, it's always been amazing to me. Like, George could do stuff like that. Like, you do. You come out and do that. Your dad did that. It's just amazing to me that you can come out into a crowd of people, and really all you did is you put on your goober beanie there and grinned at them, and people clapped. Is that pretty good?
Oh, it's great. And I never, until my first, I was going to say goober days. You know, Dad always thought he was going to get an amusement park and call it like Gooberland or something. Oh, I never thought I looked like Dad. My nose is too pointy. He's got a flatter nose. And the first Mayberry days, I think, there was that cardboard cutout, you know, in the gift shop. And I put that cap on. I stood next to him, and I went, oh, babe, I really look like him. It's almost scary. And it was also really scary. Tim, was, after Dad passed, and then there's Tim in the parade, and I'm going, it's all real fun.
Oh, that's great. You know, you do such a good job doing that, too. You're going to enjoy the show that we're going to do later, because he's going to be dressed. I guess you brought your goobers. He's got one, and it's one of your dad's goober suits, right?
Later in years, he had his goober suit made into a one-piece. It's like a pair of coveralls. He's just slipping on. You know, he couldn't button it anymore, so it's a zip-up in the front. But and all the tire gauge and all the pens and pencils are all Velcroed into the pocket and the rags. I want to share something with you guys. A couple of things are kind of funny, just in life. You guys know about this Uber cars? It's the car service thing. You drive a car and you park it, and somebody else goes there and picks it up and drives somewhere else, and la la la. And in smaller cities, and a friend of mine in Santa Barbara. They have this service, and it's Uber, U-B-E-R. And so I got back from Mayberry Days, and I had the goober suit on, you know, when I do goober suits and stuff. And my friend called up and said, how is that going? And I said, great. And so he said, so, do you do Uber? And I thought he said, do I do goober? He goes, do you do Uber? And I said, well, yeah, I was just in Mayberry Days. And I just did Uber. No, Uber. You were talking about being comfortable on stage. And I think a lot of that comes from Dad. You know, when I was a kid, he would get me to do jokes. And I didn't understand comedy, but I knew getting a laugh. And so I was always, he'd set me up as, he would be the straight man, and I'd do the punchline. And we would go to the bank, back before they had bulletproof glass. He would set me on the next to the teller, and he'd say, and didn't get the joke, but back then, he would say, hey, George, who's that lady I saw you with last night? And I'd say, that was no lady. That was my brother-in-law, and we're all sick about it. Now, and I'd get laughs. I didn't know why, but I thought getting laughs is good. So as growing up, I was very comfortable with being in front of an audience, you know, and getting out of trouble and telling a joke. So
you've done a lot of voiceover work. Now, y'all know cartoons and stuff. There's people that do voices on the cartoons and stuff. You've done a good bit of that, haven't you?
There's these Japanese movies called anime. All the kids have the real big eyes. A friend of mine does those, produces those, and I've done about 15 movies. Yeah, it's a lot of it's the, hey, oh, ah, ee, ooh, ah. So yeah, that's my voiceover work. But no, I did a whole lot of voices, so it's real fun.
I'll tell y'all a story, because I got some pictures, actually. Let me pull this up as I do this. I came home from work early one day because I wasn't feeling real well. And I got home, and I was wanting to watch something in particular on television. The TV was on a particular channel when I turned it on. Well, this is what, you know, I was like, oh, man, it's the game show channel. That's not what I wanted to watch. So I turned, you have a TV with a DVR or something where you can look and see what's on it. And so the screen shrinks down into the top corner, and you can see everything's coming on. Well, this is what I saw, this. And so it was real little, and I saw this. Well, I was like, man, that looks a lot like George. But I'm thinking, that can't be him. But so then it keeps playing, and I made it big again. And I'm looking at him and going, man, that guy looks a lot like George Jr. And as I kept watching, it kept getting closer, and it actually says George. I'm going, oh, my gosh. So record. You know, so I start recording this episode of Shop Till You Drop. And I still wasn't completely convinced this was George because it was still a side shot. And I thought, boy, this guy really looks like George. Until I saw some of these pictures, I'm going, oh my goodness, that's definitely him. So when I saw this, I'm like, there's no doubt this is him. It was amazing to me because I came home early from work. I didn't know you were going to be on the show. I'd not heard about it. And I came home early, saw this, and here he is, by the way, running, and he was having to run up and down these stairs to get stuff. And there's, he's out of breath because he's breathing, and they won their $900 there, $1,900 they won, and a trip to Bahamas. So congratulations, there he is. Yeah, tell him a little bit about what happened.
It was great. I've been on a couple of game shows, and that gal, Lana from Alabama, she's from Birmingham. She's one of Karen Knott's best friends out in California. And we're just buddies. She's from Alabama, and she's an actress. And we were trying to, just get on TV. And I said, well, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. Let's go on this thing. Just, I love this. So we got on, and we won everything. We won the most anybody has won in the history of that show. One of the things that I had to do, they had all the guys put on a pair of tights with a pink tutu, and then we had this like a shower curtain thing that went around us from here up, so you could only see our legs, and so we had to dance ballet dance to this music, and all the ladies had to figure out who their man was. Well, I was the silliest guy out there. All that stuff. And all the other guys are too embarrassed to be silly. And so Lana said, well, I said, could you tell it was me? She goes, really? You were the only one being silly. So, no, that was a great experience. That was really fun. And I was also on the dating game. And I won. Because of comedy. I was there, and then the two other contestants, the gal asked us the questions. Oh, they were these macho guys, and one guy was there. He's wearing a vest with no shirt, on the dating game. And another guy's, Well, they got to this point in the show, and they said, do you have any special abilities? So some guy whistled something, or some guy did something lame. And they got to me, and they said, do you do anything special? And I said, yeah, I can ham bone. They said, ham bone? This is Los Angeles. ham bone, where you been? Around the world, I'm going again. What you gonna do when you get back? Take a little walk around the railroad shack. Ham bone. And so I got the best audience response. Yeah, everybody went, what? Hambone? What's wrong with that guy? And so, then the audience, they said, who should she pick? And the audience all said, me. And I won the thing. And all the macho guys are all, how'd that silly guy get that? But yeah, I won that. And so that was just a really fun experience, my game show stuff.
Well, did you go on the date? Yeah, did you go?
We won a trip to Hawaii, and I didn't go. She was a stick in the mud. I thought, I'm just going to have a terrible time. Somebody said, well, why didn't you just go and just, leave her on the beach or something? I thought, no. But we won a couple of prizes and some cash and stuff. I think we went a golf trip to some local place, but...
Well, I've got some other pictures up here you can comment on if you'd like to. So this is you. You just tell them about this. This is these are some pictures. I'll flip through them and you can kind of tell what they are.
Okay. That was Damn Yankees, and I was Coach Benny Van Buren. And that's the song is, you gotta have heart, all you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when a grin should start. I was in California at the Madrid Theater. That's my evil twin. That's out in Texas. A bag of goobers. That's when I used to gunfight, and that's in Texas. That's my crew in Texas, and I was always Leon Jones, the stupid deputy, but I not really stupid. He was more of a goober character. He was simple, but he got all the laughs. That's my crew from Texas. That was the silent movie murder mystery. I was doing one of those a dinner show where the audience has to guess the murderer and all that, and I was a silent movie character. I had one line in the whole show. At the end of the show, I only had one line. What was it? And I can't remember it. Oh, they got the murderer and everything was done, and I go, "Badeep, badeep, badeep, that's all, folks." That was my one line. Oh, that's Bart Black. Oh, Sappho's kid. That was my dad's best friend's son. Is, or was, but they make big donations to the film festival, actually, at UNA. But good guy, good guy. That's old Pa. He's in a wheelchair there, and they did a dedication at the theater, I mean at the college. It's the George Smith Lindsay Theater. It's a $3 million theater. And then the performance space inside is the Ernest Borgnine performance space. I don't know if you guys know that they were best friends, my dad and Mr. Borgnine. And dad was able to be there for the dedication before he got really sick. So that was really nice. That's a great picture.
Yeah, I got to be at that event, and Ernest Borgnine was there that day when it was dedicated. It was a really special day, and your dad was always so nice to me and to everybody knew the tribute artist, even Tim, who's taking all of his work, is what George one time told Tim, that it was really a lot of fun. We've just got a few more minutes left. Now, do anybody have any other questions that they'd like to ask George about his dad or about anything, really? What you got, Pat? Let me get back here so we can get the audio.
Karen Knotts has said that she watched her dad rehearse at home, like over the weekend. I just wondered if you have any memory of watching your dad.
I do. He would always be in his den working on his lines. Always. It's one thing I do remember at home. Always working on his lines. Always. And then my mom, she wasn't very good at reading lines with him, and he would get me to read lines with him when I was a kid. So that might have helped with my acting when I was a kid. But, and then he would invite the cast over sometimes to the house and we'd watch an episode, you know, on whatever night it was on. Was it Monday nights or something? But, and so sometimes a lot of the cast would come over, and Andy would come over, and his wife, and he drove a big yellow, like a 1930s roadster convertible, and he'd pull up, and that was always cool. But you know who hung out at our place was Jack Dodson, Howard, and his daughter would come over. She's about my age, and we'd come over and have barbecues in the backyard and stuff. And so I just remember Jack Dodson coming over. He was a really great, great, neat guy.
Did you ever realize how large, like, the Mayberry, Mayberry days and the amount of fans? Did you ever expect to be that, like, this large? Or?
Yes. No. Just, it was Karen Knotts actually got me to come here. She said, "George, you should come. That would be really fun." And the first time I got here, I was just open arms, and I won't ever stop coming as long as I can make it to Mayberry Days and to this event now. Sharon. Here she's on the hook now. But I think there's one more.
I wanted to tell you this. I don't know whether you knew this or not. I know that that your dad was real close friends with Ernest Borgnine. But did you hear the story about he said that your dad saved his life that he was going through some rough times and everything, but that your dad saved his life.
Yeah, I was able to, he actually talked about that at the dedication of the theater. That's he actually told that story, so that was...
He kept him from committing suicide, actually. Yeah, he, Ernie was, make it fast, he was at a deli, and just down on his luck, out in L.A., Dad was working and came in, and there was Ernest Borgnine, and, you know, here's an Academy Award winner down on his luck. And Dad said, hey, you know, I'm George Lindsay, I do this show and blah, 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 and said, can I sit down and talk? And they ended up talking and have some coffee and ended up going out driving around and ended up going, I think, playing some golf and became best friends. And he, my dad, actually kept him from killing himself. Yeah, that's a true story. So that's one of those neat things that Dad was, you know.
All right, well, folks, let's give George a big hand for this. We really
appreciate it. All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was on the Mayberry Cruise. Now George mentioned a couple of people toward the end and throughout. He's talking about Tim and seeing Tim in the parade at Mayberry Days and ooh, da, 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 that. Well, Tim Pettigrew is our George Lindsay tribute artist. No, I should say goober. Our goober tribute artist. So, you know, he looks like George's dad, obviously. He looks like Goober. So that was a little weird to him. And there at the end where he was talking about he never missed Mayberry Days if he could help it. And now this event, talking about the Mayberry Cruise, he said Sharon. Well, Sharon is the lady who puts together the Mayberry Cruise. And, so he was putting pressure on her to have him back for a future Mayberry Cruise. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that. It was a great time on the cruise, spending it with George and Leroy. And all the tribute artists that were able to attend as well. Folks were able to spend a lot of time actually talking to these cast members and visiting with them. And they were completely open to visiting with all the fans. They sit around with people and visit. And that's one of the things you can expect to get if you are able to go on the Mayberry Cruise. Hopefully this little bit of things like this that I'm able to do every year and play the interviews we did last year. It was with Jackie Joseph. So you can look back through the archives of the podcast if you didn't hear that and hear more about what happened there. Wow, we're 30 minutes long here. Sorry I've kept you this long, but I hope you've enjoyed yourself. I want to tell you, too, there's the George Lindsay Theater dedication. There are a couple of podcasts about that as well. So if you'd like to look back through our archives for those, we'll put a link in the show notes for those and for the past Mayberry Cruise interviews and stuff. So you can go back and check them out. All right, folks. Hope you've enjoyed yourself. I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can also send me an email at floyd@imaybeer.com. Drop by twochairsnowaiting.com. And you can leave a comment there, and you can find out all these ways to contact me by phone or by email. All that information is right there at twochairsnowaiting.com. All right, folks, have a great week, and we'll see you right here next week on Two Chairs No Waiting. Good night, everybody.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.